Monday.
Oh, coming at you.
Talk about that. Another episode with John and
Johnny. People are always coming at you. It's a little bit, it's too much.
Yeah, come at me, bro.
We're not ready for this right now. People are a little bit gun shy from the pandemic.
Let me stay back a little bit instead of come at me.
Staying over here. 6 feet away.
Yeah, talk to me from 6 feet. Yeah.
Be a good branding.
Yeah.
6 feet away, the podcast.
Did you see that Shane and Shane logo they put out right as everything started? It was like, this is our new logo. And it was like, Shane.
Oh, and it was way far away.
And then they had the thing that said 6 feet, and then his name. It was just the words, but they literally made the word. It was very clever.
That's great.
Very clever, yeah.
Those guys.
Oh, those guys. You know, they've been doing worship for us a lot.
Via video.
Yeah.
Do you know them? Are you friends?
I know them. A little bit. I mean, they're
acquaintances.
Yeah, I mean, I talk to him every once in a while when I'm down at Walmart.
Acquaintances.
You know, I told you how stupid I was, right? Because you know, we do talk and everything. And one of my good friends is in their community group is one of them. And so, we were down there for a thing back in the fall.
Yeah.
And it was a thing for pastors, and so there was like a lunch buffet table set up.
Yeah.
And they have like these two towers at Watermark. Like office towers where different things were happening on different floors.
Like in Lord of the Rings.
So, exactly. And so we came out to eat, and I saw one of the Shane Everett came down, and he was with his daughter, and their studio is up on like, I don't know, 12th floor or something. And so that's why they're just up there recording all day. So that's why they put out so many of these Worship Initiative records, all those things. Very prolific. Like a lot of music comes out of them in that studio. And so I talked to him for a second, just say hi, you know, and he goes to me and my buddy, who is his good friend, is like, hey, you know, we're recording right now. If y'all want to come up and hang out in the studio for a second, you know.
Yeah.
And my friend, though, was about to present. Like, he's like, I got to stay close here. They're about to call me up, you know. And they kind of look at me like, I can still go. And I was like, oh, that's okay. Like, I didn't want to be a bother and go up there and kind of...
Because you were kind of invited as a tag along.
I immediately regretted it. Immediately.
Right, you blew it.
I should have just said...
They invited you into the inner sanctum.
Absolutely. I'll get my guitar or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll sing some harmonies.
I like to pick
you guys ever think about
songs.
Like a third part? Shane and John?
I'll stand 6 feet apart.
Well, that wasn't a thing then. People were embracing. We didn't know what we had.
Oh my goodness!
People were wasting toilet. We were flushing toilet paper down the toilet. That's how we didn't know what we had.
Just for fun.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
We rolled people's yards like it's a big prank.
Oh my gosh!
Gold we had.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We won't take it for granted anymore.
It was a simpler time.
We probably will.
How long will it take once it passes? And maybe that's 2 months. Maybe that's 2 years.
I wonder. You think the handshake is dead?
I don't.
Handshake is dead.
I was going to say, how long until like we literally don't think about it at all ever again? Do you think it ever happens?
I think it'll happen easier for some people than others, obviously. I mean, obviously, if you had somebody affect your life, it's got to be more of a thing. But yeah, because I know people who say, I still have yet to meet someone in my circle who's even had it. And it leads to that whole thing of like, is it even real if it didn't affect me? That's kind of dumb, but it does lead you to probably want to move on faster.
Yeah, I had 4 family members who had it.
Yeah.
And then I found out yesterday one of their family members died this week of it. She was in a nursing home and, you know, already had some other health issues, but died when she got COVID. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I'm interested to see what cultural things happen that... Because some people want the handshake to go away. It is a weird thing.
Is it?
I mean, it is odd. That's how we... You know, we have to touch a new stranger to connote.
I like it. I'm a real hug and shake hands
kind of
guy.
Well, I am too, obviously. I mean, that's who I am, and that's fine. But, you know, I know people who have been fist bumping people for a long time, and some of them are germaphobes. It's not like, I want to look cool. They're like, this is less likely to spread.
Yeah, like Howie Mandel.
Yeah. I don't even think he fist bumps. He just air.
Nah,
he air fives.
We watch AGT.
Because, I mean, even Dr. Fauci says fist bumps are... just dens of pathogens too.
Really?
Oh yeah. Whether you got stuff on the ends that you've contacted, you don't hit a lot of stuff with the back of your hand, but
you know,
this disease like the back of my hand, you guys. It's a Fauci slap. You just slap backs of hands. Call it a Fauci slap.
You know, I guess from a droplet, from an invisible droplet standpoint, you probably breathe more on the back of your hands than on the palms of your hands.
I had a moment the other day where I felt like, I know we're doing this thing of new gender norms and all that, and to some degree people have political ideas about it. But it just is weird when you have a moment where you're like, wow, I'm not like a traditional man. And here's what happened. Curry said, something's on your nails. Look at your nail beds. Like, I don't know what happened. I had dirty nails.
I don't think I could identify nail beds.
And how I would look, I would look at my nails should be like this. Like, I turn my hand, palm into my face, and I look at my nails like that. But what I did was I turned the back of my hand out, and I held my hand aloft as though I was like admiring my new nails that I had got done at the salon.
Yeah.
And I could see the look of disappointment in Curry's face. Like, this is, that's just a little thing, but it's like, that's how I look at nails now, and you can't respect me anymore.
If you drink a cup of tea, do you stick your pinky out?
It's inadvertent, John.
I have found myself, I've done it accidentally before. It's just because all my fingers wouldn't fit on the little, you know, handle or whatever. But
some of these things you don't mean to do. Like, I remember when I first started making bar chords in church, I realized that my middle finger would just stick straight up in the air.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's no good.
Yeah, bar chords.
I'm sending mixed messages here.
Bar chords makes a middle finger.
He's praising the Lord with his mouth, but his finger is telling the whole crowd where to go. It's not cool. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, maybe it's the... Fauci says fist bumps got to go. He's saying, put on a nebulizer and just get out there and stay far away. In a couple of years, we're going to be fine.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I feel there's all the other research about our need to have exposure to germs.
Right, that's could kill the idea that the loneliness is killing us.
Or that we need...
Oh, germ exposure.
Yeah, we need germ exposure as well. And so, I don't know, there's a balance. And
so you just put some dirt in your mouth every day.
You and I are talking at lunch about, and my wife is the one that always uses this, the whole world is all either or now.
Yeah.
Everything is either, I think, everyone should wear a mask, or everyone should, you know, or... Everyone else is completely an idiot and they want my grandma to die. You know, like, it's so polarizing. And most of life is both and, if you're going to be wise. I can say, I think you said it at lunch, you know, like, hey, I can care. I could be concerned about COVID.
Right.
I can also, you know, kind of hope that we're able to open some things back up and get back to some semblance of economic normalcy. You know, and... I mean, I could do all of these things.
Yeah, you could be concerned about overreach of government.
Yeah. Like, it's okay to have those concerns in tension, that you just continue to take in information every day. The idea
If we could go back, like, I'm not a conspiracy guy. We talked about that last week. I'm just not. But if we could go back and look at some of the government overreach that happened after 9/11, for instance, with the Patriot Act. We were just so anxious to catch terrorists that the government slipped in on us. Hey, we're going to listen in on your phone calls. And we thought... Well, look, I got nothing to hide. What do I care?
Yeah.
They're going to catch me ordering Domino's pizza. What do I care if they can catch the terrorists? But it's affected us. We've become a different country because of some of the stuff they slipped in on us. So government overreach is a real thing.
I honestly can't figure out how it's affected me at all.
John,
like, my life is no different on the phone
calls. The podcast is going to cut midstream. It's not affected me.
I don't know. I'm just kind of... You know,
you're like, you got nothing to hide. It's like the whole thing about search, like a search in your car, you know, like the police doesn't have the right to search your car without a warrant. But a police officer would say, well, what do you got to hide? But then you could say, well, it's my right to not let you just ransack my belongings unless you have cause.
But this is the guy that also thought he should have the right to not wear a seatbelt for a while.
But I've changed my mind on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed my mind on that because I have to help pay for other people's insurance now. So if you're going to be in a iron lung for the rest of your life because you didn't buckle your seatbelt, and I'm going to have to help pay for that. Now I believe, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You should have to buckle your safety belt. But back in the day, yeah, I think, should I have, if I'm by myself in the car, I get kids, like if you want to buckle in kids, but I used to have a thing of like more libertarian. Used to have a way more libertarian slant on things where I'd say, well, look, I should have the right to be dangerous.
To endanger myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm not endangering like a 9-year-old that's next to me in the car.
Right.
But smoking's not a great libertarian issue because it's like now we found out secondhand smoke hurts people. So you can't Now we're in the back end of the mask thing. If I don't wear a mask and I'm asymptomatic, blah, 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 it's a whole thing.
So what you're saying is there's no issue you're going to find where it's completely isolated to just an individual, because all issues are going to somehow affect us because we live in some level of community and society. Like, there's no way you can pick something that is not going to affect somebody around you, though we want to keep doing that because it's all based on individual rights now.
Yeah.
But individual rights, there's no such thing as one completely independent from the other individuals. It just doesn't work.
But it's like one guy tried to blow us up with shoes. And so now we all take off our shoes for the last 10 years, 12 years. And we've lived with it. Hey, this is just something we do. And if you complain about it, they're like, well, what's the big deal? It's just your shoes. Well, it's not, though.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It's that culture of, I don't know, John. I'm not trying to make a big hill to die on about shoes, but because I don't have to do it because I'm pre-check.
I was going to say, I'm pre-check. This doesn't affect me either.
Oh, you poor shoe taking off.
Oh, man.
The hoi polloi.
Laura and I were talking, you know, so, and this is horrible. It's very judgmental, but, you know, we fancy ourselves, you know, we're not as prolific travelers probably as you are.
Yeah, but you go cool places. I go to, like, Terre Haute.
I've been to Terre Haute and I liked it.
Yeah, it's fine. But what I'm saying is, like, I go to places that's like, there's a comedy show there and I see the inside of a hotel and the inside of the venue. You guys go like, hey, let's go here and we'll see things there.
Yeah.
Well, sorry if you're listening from Terre Haute. It's a lovely place.
We're very sorry.
We actually went to Terre Haute together.
We did. I drove you up there.
Yeah, Terre Haute.
I like driving you on trips. I like driving.
We never do it anymore. I mean, not just because of the pandemic. I'm saying like,
whoa, now, we did one last year. I don't remember
when. 20 years not enough.
Well, how many do you
want?
We
need to do something for, what birthday's coming up for you? 42. 42, man. Let's do it.
You know, it's a big year.
Big 42. It's a big milestone for you. You're in the 95th percentile for, I don't know, hair loss. We could go, though, to like Vegas. Can you imagine?
What are you and I going to do in Vegas?
Oh, the shows and the...
It's going to be the shows. That's it.
No.
We don't gamble.
You could do a little bit, though.
I hate gambling. I've done it a few times. I don't get it. I'm not patient enough.
I know, I don't get it
and
either.
I don't like wasting money.
Yeah.
I just don't believe. Here's the thing. I've lost enough times in my life. I don't believe I'm going to win. I'm just not that guy. That's like, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm the one. Like, I'm like, no, I don't win things. Like, I'm more likely to get a ticket than someone around me. I'm not even pessimistic. It's just.
Wow, this sounds. You're bringing everybody down.
Sorry, guys. But I mean, look, I would go and eat.
Yeah.
I like eating.
Good food. And well, that's the thing. Vegas is reopening cautiously, I think, soon. So that'll be interesting to see what that all, because that's like, talk about shoulder to shoulder. That's not a place where you can distance.
No.
That's like people just jammed into a huge casino. Even when you're just walking to your room, it's like chaos.
I want to take my family out west soon. We just watched the Ken Burns National Parks documentary. Have you seen this?
Oh, my gosh. This is like you're the missionary that just came to the church and wants to show the slideshow.
Guys, I'm telling you.
That's what just happened to the podcast. You're like, I want to tell you about a documentary I'm watching.
I got this here snake skin.
What's it about? National Parks.
Guys, it's really good. I know it's
These are deciduous trees. You're the worst. We lost everyone. They just clicked off.
Guys, listen.
We also had an ad for stamps.com just then because everybody just fast forwarded. Hey, stamps.com, everybody.
Not a sponsor. Hey, so the deal is, it's called National Parks, America's Best Idea.
Yeah.
Okay, because someone said that along the way.
It is a great idea.
And so we just assume that's kind of like, oh, yeah, national parks. No, someone came up with that.
Yeah.
It was this idea
to hold some land aside that we couldn't
that couldn't be developed.
Pillage.
And like Niagara Falls got pillaged in the beginning, and so it became like this amazing natural vista and this amazing feature. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's just people basically walk around selling cotton candy, you know, and you know, here, throw a quarter into the falls. I mean, like everything is messing
it
up. You
go fish it out later. There's scuba teams at the end of the day.
And that's how they get paid, by the quarters. Back then, Johnny, though, a quarter is worth a lot more.
That's true.
And so, like, Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon and, like, keeping those things from happening.
Did you see somebody fell into a geyser or something at Yellowstone? Because it's closed. but somebody like broke the barrier and like was backing up and taking a photo and they fell in. They called it a, what do they call it? A thermal attraction. They wouldn't say what it was because there's a bunch of them. They have hot springs. They have the mud pits in Yellowstone. They have all these things and they
Old
have geysers.
Faithful. Yeah.
So I don't know what she was doing, but she backed, I think it was a woman. She backed over and fell off of some kind of a cliff into one of the thermal.
Well, I mean, she would have completely.
Well, she was burned.
Yeah.
They took her to a hospital.
There'd be third degree burns all over.
Right? I don't know what happened, John. I don't know if she fell completely in, but they said that, and I'm assuming she's going to recover.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, she just kind of was like, hey, Yellowstone's going to be a great place to take photos right now. She could have just watched the documentary, John, or listened to your wonderful account of it.
I'm not going to give an account of it.
Which is almost as good as watching.
I'm not going to give an account of it. I will just...
You ever had someone describe a comic strip to you? And then in the next cell, Calvin says to Hobbes, that's what you're doing.
No. It was Hobbes.
No, I think it's cool. And, you know, that's the bummer when they have the weird government shutdown that they pull every few years where the one political party in power is like, I'll shut the government down until you pass the budget. And they shut it all down. And the parks is one of the first things, you know, where you can't go. It's a bummer because it's like that's the one free thing we have.
Yeah.
You're punishing people who are like, we were going to go to the park.
Well, and that's kind of the whole point of the documentary is this became a part of the American consciousness. Consciousness.
Yeah.
It would be that thing, even if you're not like some big, you know, conservationist or naturalist.
Yeah.
Everybody recognizes it. It's almost like a rite of passage, and it is like America to you. Like,
yeah.
It's an idea of the America.
Like virgin land. Like they couldn't screw this up. Like I remember Townsend was that way because I grew up in East Tennessee. And then you had Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, mm-hmm. which was just. Sign after sign, tattoo, airbrush, Dolly Parton Museum times 12. I mean, every, you know, the Elvis Museum, the photo booth, the water slides. Then you had on the other side of Ware's Valley, you had Townsend, and they were called like the peaceful side of this, and they fought to keep that.
So I actually just wrote
And now Townsend has a Sonic and a.
Yeah, but it's nothing. Listen,
it's not like Pigeon Forge, but I'm saying like they've somehow somebody got on a city council board somewhere and was like, all right, we can have one water slide.
So in the 70s, so I actually did some interviews about this for a book. So in the 70s, it was Lamar Alexander, who was the governor, and he's been a senator all this time. He and some others, they bought what is called Blackberry Farm, which is like a major, I think, who was the first American Idol winner?
Kelly Clarkson.
She had her wedding there. Like, it's a big national, you know, place. But back then, it was like a couple cabins they wanted for it. But they bought it, and then they brought in investors to buy up a lot of the acreage, to your point, around there for conservationist reasons so they can never become Pigeon Forge. So they bought up thousands of acres on purpose to preserve it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever been donated into the national park or into
parks. It's right at the edge, you know, as is Gatlinburg, though, but... Yeah, we like that. And that's where my mom liked to stay. When I was a kid, I wanted to go to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg because I was like, I want to see all the colors and I want to see the water slides and I want to go to Dollywood. But now, the older I get, if I go to the mountains now, because we live in Middle Tennessee, it's so flat. So when I go to the mountains, I'd rather go there to Townsend. I'd rather go like, I mean, you might go tubing. There might be a tubing place open where you rent tubes and float down. But like, there's not a bunch of like commerce going on.
Right.
You know.
Well, my school where I used to teach was... at Heritage High School and Heritage Middle School, literally on my way into work every morning, it was right there at the Townsend, that foothill to the Smokies, you know, the entrance to the Smokies on the other side all the time. And you and I would go play golf. Was it Walland or Townsend where we'd play?
It was probably right on the border of Townsend and Walland.
What was that called?
What was it? I can't remember.
Ware's Valley?
Yeah, but no, it wasn't Ware's Valley, but it was basically Maryville, probably. It would be considered Maryville.
Yeah.
But it was almost to Townsend.
Yeah.
So Walland area, probably. But yeah, I can't remember where that was, but what a great course because it's so beautiful.
Goodness.
You're surrounded by the mountains on all sides almost. Oh, it's great. And nice, for us, nice wide fairways because we're terrible at golf.
Oh, we're horrible.
So yeah, it was a good place to play.
So I haven't found my clubs. I did find some of my clubs.
Okay. So wait a minute.
No, listen.
Is there an apology coming?
No, not yet.
Because you found some of them, so...
What I'm trying to tell you is, here's what has happened. I have, like, some of my irons. But my driver, my hybrids, my three wood. Remember that?
John, I don't care anything about your clubs. This is why I know that I don't have them.
Listen, I loaned those to someone who already had irons. So for some reason, why would I only have irons?
It feels like an apology should be coming and is not coming.
It's not coming until this whole mystery is solved. I'm still not convinced. How many times in our life...
This is like a political press conference.
Have we found things...
Hey, do you want to go back on what you said before now that we have evidence?
I am not responsible at all.
You would think so, but no. I'm going to keep backpedaling.
How about this? I apologize to you.
Yeah.
For the irons.
If I was bothered by your accusation.
No. I apologize to you about the irons, but I'm not ready to render an apology yet about the other clubs that have still yet to come up from their missing status.
Let me say
this.
I appreciate your candor, and you can kiss my butt. How about that?
I appreciate you making that PG for our listeners. So, but I realized before I left Triple Crown, the neighborhood where I used to live in, somebody one day on the...
That sounds very prestigious, too, Triple Crown.
Oh, it's very...
Triple Crown.
Poor Triple Crown, man. It got destroyed by the tornado.
Yeah, so there's a lot of damage there.
So, anyway, someone was like, hey, I'm selling this this travel bag or travel... What would you call it, Johnny? It's the hard shell golf club thing with the rollers.
Travel bag,
And so... But it had clubs in it. It was like, he was selling it for like $50. I was like, well, heck, I'll just get it for the case. You know, it was a case. There's the word. It came out.
Travel case.
Yeah. And so I realized I've stuck the clubs in there with a bunch of other clubs that he gave. And there are, I think the driver that's in there was nicer than the one I had. Just like a Titleist.
Yeah.
So I have a driver now and I have some clubs. Mm-hmm. I still don't have like a hybrid, which I don't need, but I need that three wood, Johnny. So I'm going to need you to return that. And I'm losing my sand wedge is not in there. But there's a putter that I bought. So anyway, I'm piecing things together for me and you to go play golf at some point.
I would like that. I played this week. I played a couple days ago.
You live an enchanted existence, Johnny, all the time.
That's not true. Playing golf for a couple hours with a buddy. You know what? It wasn't enchanted because you weren't there. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Bringing me down. Accusing me of stealing your clubs and throwing in the occasional national parks reference.
Listen, man. The national parks, they're like two-hour episodes, too. There's like six of them.
I need to get into some Ken Burns. The country music one I've heard is really good.
Went to get it, and you have to buy it.
Well...
I already pay for a bunch. How come I have to
buy it? Do you want people to get your book for free?
I am buying it when I pay for Comcast, Netflix, and Amazon.
But he doesn't have deals with them. When John's book comes out on the free library system, that's when I'll get it. And until then, John can just wait. John can suck eggs.
John's been waiting a long time. No one's buying it. What do you want? Had you watched my video this week?
Yeah.
The new one?
No. Uh-huh.
Did you like my little Prius mudding?
I did.
Image.
I like that. It's good.
I made that myself.
The Indoorsman.
Yeah.
How's that going? How's the Indoorsman?
I don't know. My first video has over 10,000 views. So.
Oh. It's time for an annex on the palatial estate.
I tell you.
Is the pool open yet at the driver estate?
No. It's too cold. It'll get there. Hey, a couple days like this.
You need a heater, John.
Dude, I don't care that kind of coin, man. Listen. Having a pool, what I just do is clean leaves out of it all day. You know what I'm saying?
Don't you have evergreens around it, I thought?
No, I have bushes that grow 8 feet tall, 12 feet wide.
Who planted that right next to your pool?
The guy who built the house. And so literally they
shed. He cared
more
about privacy than...
He didn't think it through. And so, I have to trim them.
And
so
isn't that just like our lives?
Isn't it though, guys?
You have to plan for the next person who's going to own your pool or
your spiritual
your soul.
Pool. Right.
Wait.
Did I tell you? So the bushes really are tall. The first time I did it took me 3 days. I was using an electric hedge trimmer and a ladder.
Yeah.
Which was very not. It didn't work because the backside's
like
on a slope. Yeah. And so anyway, so then. Johnny, I actually bought off of Amazon. I had this great idea.
Oh, stilts.
I bought a pair of stilts.
Yeah, like the people that do ceiling drywall and stuff way around. Or circus people.
I see people on stilts doing drywall all the time. I'm like, all right.
Did you get those long clown pants that have stripes where it looks like you're really that tall? Wouldn't that be fun?
That was going to be up there like, look, kids. I'm juggling while I'm trimming the hedges.
Did your dad play basketball, Sadie? Not anymore.
No, no. And I literally, like, several friends were like, this is not a good idea. Because I was going to have a piece of equipment in my hand on stilts walking around. And then I remember one day, and I don't say this very often, but I literally sensed what I believe was the whisper of God. Like, say, hey, no, don't do it.
Down.
Yeah, like, and so I sent him back. I really think something bad was going to happen. And
you never put on the stilts?
I never even put them on. I sent him back like, you know what, this is bad. But I went and bought a single scaffold, like one of those little rolling scaffolds.
And there was no whisper for that?
No whisper. Well, that's totally, you lock in the wheels, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it this week. But when I do it, man, it just puts all kinds of leaves into the pool. So what are you going to do, man?
I'm just imagining you having still time being whispered to, but that's fine. Listen, whatever your theological bent is.
I mean, again, I don't know why we're afraid to say God. That's a weird thing. I grew up everybody saying God spoke to me. I know people.
That's true. It's probably why I'm more reticent about it.
And that's why I hesitate to say it. But I've known people.
Yeah.
I've been in conversations with people. Literally with one guy, I've been in a conversation before where he was like, he was talking. He goes, well, wait, God said I'm rambling. You know, I'm like he's having a monologue or a dialogue, him and God right then. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. And there's some guys out there, the whole prosperity preacher guys.
That'd be great to hear a preacher say that in the middle of a sermon. Like,
I'm rambling.
God said I'm rambling. Let's pray.
Almost just like, yeah, the Lord's right.
I confirm that my spirit.
But I think we can go so far the other way. It's like we're afraid to say that we ever feel led by God's Spirit. And Romans 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So like there's this, so I'm led by God's Spirit, not just through the whisper.
Well, there is a scripture that says who can add a cubit to his height just by wishing it so or something like that, right? Who can, by worrying about it.
By worrying.
So dude, the whisper lines up with, because you were trying to add a cubit.
I just added a cubit.
And God was like, hey, read the book.
By the way, I bought a cubit tape measure at Lowe's.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it that they had it.
You're Bill Monarch now.
It was in the antique tool section. And the ancient tool section. No, but I just think it's okay. Yeah. Like I really do struggle though, like guys, if I can't say as a follower of Jesus that God speaks to me.
Right.
Then maybe I've gone too far. Like what I can say is, okay, how does God speak to me? If it's only the whisper, then I'm really skeptical. But when the whisper reminds me of something in scripture,
right?
That's the main way is like a scripture will, this happens to me all the time where I know God is speaking to me. A scripture will come to mind that I've obviously read, but it's one that I did not even know that I knew.
Right.
Like, but the few phrases will come and then I'll go look it up. Like, wow, why am I thinking about that one? You know, when I'm seeking after an answer on something and it will be, so that's a really cool way. Cause you're like, okay, wow. I didn't even know I knew that, you know? So there was almost like a quickening to something scripturally. And then I think that through community as well. So in that case with the stilts, tons of people had said, dude, you're an idiot. Don't do this. But I wasn't listening to them.
Right.
So,
I
needed literally God himself to protect me from the stilts. I think he did. I mean, he'll almost just say this, Johnny. Nothing bad ever happened with me on stilts. So you can't argue with the results. It worked.
As a tall person, I got to say to you, it is dangerous up here.
I should get you to come to the edges, man.
I fall down a lot.
You could just stand there and just...
I was laughing at Curry because she's kind of clumsy. You know,
you're just going to come right out and
say that. She injures herself a lot.
Okay.
And she'll just, I mean, randomly have a bruise. Does that ever happen to Laura? She's like, I don't even know where I got this bruise.
Every single day.
But she got a barbecue yesterday. So she's going over there getting ready to feed Tab, who she takes care of. And it was like a big thing of sauce they gave with it. So I put my sauce on. I give her the whole big thing of sauce. She goes over to like the little TV tray. And then I hear her go, are you kidding me? And somehow now the sauce is turned completely upside down. And there's just sauce just going to the edges of the TV tray, just like a swimming pool. So it's unusable unless you really, I mean, even pre-COVID, it would have been unusable. I mean, I would have probably sopped it. There would have been some dipping on my end if it was that's the thing. That's why women live longer again.
Yeah.
Because we would have been like, well, it's this top sauce. This top sauce, I'll dip.
Right.
But anyway, she was like, are you kidding me? So we had to like whip up some sauce from the fridge and mix it with some old Chick-fil-A cast aside sauces that we have in our cabinet. Just like, here's a, make this, you just know.
Like a cauldron of
sauces. She was just like, yeah. But it was just so funny
to me. It was Johnny's brew.
But she was so mad at herself. Sauce got everywhere. And I was like, it's okay. But yeah, she would not be, I would not put her on stilts, all that to say. She would not be like,
she's not
here.
Doing okay in her own legs as it is.
Right. She'll hold the ladder for me. She gets more scared of heights and all that. But I don't know. I've been up here a while, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm a foot taller than my wife, so.
Yeah. Laura does, she'll be sitting in her office, and I'll just go, ow!
Right.
Like, she's just at her desk.
All the time.
And I'll go, what happened? Oh, the, I'm just like, I would think being confined right now to your chair, you know.
You're sitting safe. This is safe.
This is a safe area. I tell her all the time, we just got to put you in a bubble room or something. Yep. But yes, tons of bruises. She'll just like, oh, where's the bruise come from on my hip? I'm like, honey, I don't know. I mean, there is a lot. And I can get injured. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. And yes, she did. We ordered Thai food the other night. And we were putting it all into paper plates. And
was it from Shada Thai?
It was from Shada Thai.
Is it good?
I don't want to disparage a local.
Well, if it was good, you would have already said so. Yeah. Oh, it's delicious.
There's another Thai restaurant in Mount Juliet. But here's the thing. We were ordering takeout, and I didn't order the same dishes. It could have just been not good for takeout and not the right dish. Okay. So, sorry. So, anywho, it may be fine. Please keep, patronizing.
That's right. You know, keep patronizing?
That's what, you keep becoming a patron.
I think you give them your patronage. Patronizing means like talk down to.
I know it does, but it actually means as well, if you patronize an establishment, that means you went there and...
And you talk down to them.
Yeah. So, yeah, isn't that funny?
Oh, boy.
And we have a thing where she will not ever not be the last person to the table.
Yeah.
She's a two. She has to help and serve everybody.
All right.
And so I try to stand up and help and do stuff, but like, there's no way she's going to make sure her plate is last. There's no like chivalry. There's nothing I can do to stop it.
Right.
And so we're all sitting down. It was a long and large process in that she's, you know, there's rice from here and here and here. Everybody's plates. Everybody's down. Nani's down. Sadie's down. I just sat down. She has her big plate, and she's walking with it and just dumps the whole thing right there. I mean, like, in that feeling, because we had gone and gotten it. We had taken it all out, made sure, you know, we wiped things down. That was several weeks ago. You know, we were like, okay, I mean, extra safe. And like, literally, you know, I was like, luckily it was a big dish and there was enough to go get
some more,
you know, but the look on her face, but yeah, she just dropped a big plate of food. Nothing happened. She didn't trip. I don't know. It just happened. So the plate gave way. I don't know. Gravity. Not sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's dangerous out there, but really that was the Lord whispering to her that this is not going to be very good Thai food.
He just knocked it over.
And then he was trying to protect her. This is going to be a disappointing experience for you.
Let me just go
ahead. And then she went and out of rebellion and made another plate.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? God, this will preach.
It's just like the Israelites, bro.
It is.
Almost word for word.
It's like manna, but she went and regathered.
She did.
You can't regather.
You can't do it.
Even if you drop your manna, that's it. That's the manna.
That's done. You know, that's funny. They picked up manna off the ground.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were cleaning it off.
It's like a 10-second rule?
It's like, how long has it been here?
And what was it they say? It was like, experts say it was like quail? Is that what I've heard?
No, manna was like sweet bread.
Was it?
Sweet wafers. And then God sent quail.
Oh, okay. So quail.
Yeah, yeah. Quail was the meat. Manna was the bread.
Okay. So, but it was just bread on the ground.
Yeah. They picked up bread off the sand because they were in the desert a lot of that time.
Yeah, that would have been some gritty bread, wouldn't it?
My guess is it was a part of God's. So it fell like with the dew, and then it like materialized. It was like sweet bread, and you could gather it, but you couldn't store it. But, you know, again, their clothes didn't wear out either. So there's all kinds of things happening during that time that I'm sure just God was like, oh, this works. I'm going to make sure there's no. I mean, if God can send bread from heaven, Johnny, God can make sure there's no sand on it. I don't know why you doubt him so much.
Well,
and ask these ridiculous
questions.
I want to say
this. You found a dead bird in the sink after we had lunch. So what was that?
I don't know what the heck that was.
That wasn't Providence.
So, you know, the church is mostly unoccupied, obviously, right now.
Except for by a horde of birds.
I don't know evidently. What happened, but yeah, I was walking in, and this is something I'm not proud of, and I'm not sure we're going to go public with this, but now that's, that you...
Well, it's not like a health violation. We just had a bird that we didn't know was in the building.
I went to use the sink, and there was a bird down in the drain.
It had had a good run, and it was like, you know what? This is where I...
I don't know how long he'd been trapped in here, and maybe he thought, this is my only escape, is out this drain. I don't know.
But he didn't make it.
I disposed of him. So you wanted to leave him.
Well, I just didn't want you to grab the bag. I had a to-go bag, and you're like, can I have this to-go bag so I don't touch this bird? And I go, I have things to put in the to-go bag.
Yeah, but Johnny, I'm having a situation. I need that plastic bag.
There's other bags. We're in a church full of other options. You wanted to take my bag.
There's other options for your stuff as well.
There's random stuff in the church. There's a box over here of 43 bags of pork rinds, and I need an explanation right now.
Those pork rinds probably are...
That's like Atkins overload right there.
Probably with some extra thing from one of the food distribution things, and it's totally...
And they thought, John will want this.
Because I'm keto, so it's totally out of date, and they can't... Yeah. It's not like something they can distribute to the others, and so...
You don't want to give week-old pork skins to...
Right, they think John will eat this. And he will, probably. But
that was a low moment for me, like when it was still called the Atkins diet. I remember somebody who was doing the diet said, because I was like, if I don't get a piece of bread soon, I'm going to kill somebody. I was at that moment, and she goes, I found out the coolest thing you can do. I go, what? I was so excited. You're always excited to hear a new recipe. And they said, you can make French toast. It's like, you can make French toast. She goes, you crush up pork rinds to like a fine powder. And then you pour the egg in and you make like a piece of French toast. I go, this is the grossest thing.
Did you do it?
No. No. You've done it?
No, but they have
it. It just felt like, it's like the meatless things now where they put the meat seasoning on it where it's like, Jim Gaffigan has a bit about that. He's like, for people who hate meat, you sure do like a lot of things shaped like and taste exactly like meat. He's like, I don't even like meat. Does meat ever call about me when I'm not around? I ain't missing you at all. Missing you. Anyway, does meat ever ask about me? But that's kind of the thing. When you get to that point where you're like, I'll make French toast from pork rinds, you just need to have a piece of French toast. That's my way of thinking.
They have some sort of pancake batter that we've had, and I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
That's like, made
not
with,
cakes.
With, made with almond flour or something. So it's
flan keto. Cakes.
And then now I love the enchiladas that it's instead of a tortilla, it's actually like a almost like a chicken lunch meat.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I can't tell with all the stuff on it. Like it just has the same texture once it's all been.
Yeah,
in
I've
the
had
sauce
the pizza that's like minced up chicken, and it's like it just feels like I'm holding a piece of chicken parmesan with pepperoni on it.
That sounds. I can't say anything wrong with what you just said.
Yeah. I just think you need to have a piece
They have zero carb bread, by the way.
Yeah.
And we had some of that the other day, and that was really, I mean, I couldn't tell. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not strict keto. I'm low carb, mostly, right now, so.
You didn't eat the bread today. I was proud of you.
I didn't.
Used the bag to kill a bird, or to you know.
The bird was dead.
To take a bird into the arms of the angels, whatever you happen. When I worked at Home Depot, there were birds in the building all the time. They just and people would be like, "What? Birds would live in Home Depot. It's just such a big, but you can't get them all out." And so I'd be like, I'd always have like the standard line of like, "It's their house. We just work here." I thought that was so clever.
Oh man, it was the beginnings.
We would laugh. Oh, we would laugh and laugh. They said, "You should be a comedian." I was like, "Get out of here with that!" And then I'd ring up their wood.
Oh,
but
Home
you've
Depot.
Touched a dead bird now. Who's the one who's you know what I'm saying?
Neither
one of us is wearing a mask. You're touching dead birds.
Levitical, sorry.
Use your words.
Deuteronomical.
Deuteronomical law. That's not a thing.
I'm a theologian. By Levitical law, I think I'm now unclean for like 7 days. So.
That's right in keeping with the current quarantine.
Yeah.
You know, 14 would be... Even better.
I have to go outside the camp and...
Into the national parks where Ken Burns will then do a slow voiceover.
Oh, my goodness. Would love it. You need to go watch at least the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
You learn about John Muir, who was like this poet but was almost like one with nature kind of guy, like who really spearheaded
a few of those
lot.
Guys.
So, but he was Scottish. I think he was Scottish born, but they do a... voiceover and stuff of a guy who, anyway, it's just great, to his writings and stuff. And I'm not Mr., you know, conservationist, but it really is fascinating.
You don't want to conserve nature, John?
I really want to. I'm not Mr. Conservationist.
Oh, right. You lost your second place. You're the runner-up.
I don't have a...
There's a sash, but it's not as big a sash.
That's right. That's right. I'm barely placed. It was honorable mention.
So, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I'm not proud of it, but...
I'm ready to go on a vacation somewhere, you know, and like be in... I'm
tired of sitting around the house.
So
wow,
like,
yeah, it's been hard, hasn't it, on you?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm ready to...
I'm just kidding, I am too.
What do you think being on a plane is going to be like? It's going to be weird, right? Just,
I actually...
They're not going to put us all on top of each other anymore,
Laura,
for sure.
Laura read that something about... So you'd think it'd be the opposite, but CDC website or something said that planes are actually... It's you're less likely to get it because even though they're recycling air, it has to do with its flow or something. Like it's...
Well, they're giving you masks... And they're going to require masks, but then they give you a bag of peanuts, too. And you're like, all right, I feel conflicted. Or pretzels.
Yeah.
Like,
no, okay. There's no food being served. Hmm. I heard.
But I brought my own pretzels. So if I just kind of sneak a pretzel.
By they, I mean me.
They see my
me.
Mask, like, pulsating. They're like, is that guy chewing? He's chewing. We got a chewer. And they come running over. Code blue.
You get one of those flight marshals. Air marshals, whatever they call
put
them.
Put zip ties on me and drag me through the aisle for
still,
chewing a pretzel.
He's still chewing as they drag him.
It's okay, man. I get
I'm not sorry.
What if I get hypoglycemic?
Does that happen normally?
No.
Okay. Just
no,
like what if it strikes right then?
Yeah. Because when you get that many feet in the air, you're like, we could die up here.
Sudden onset hypoglycemia. Oh, my goodness. I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, that's what killed Dad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you're going to be watching church again this week, and so you. So I'm so excited that you get to be present for all of the times that I preach.
And you're
right now.
Preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you already pre-record?
I did.
How do you feel? Did you have to do any retakes?
So I got 7 minutes in and broke into a coughing fit.
Oh, that's
and there was
okay.
nothing I could do. Like,
this ain't the time for that.
Yeah. So I had to, and luckily Andrew was still in the building. So he can come restart the camera. I will say this. It's been a really good exercise because... The way, and I don't know if I said this before, there's some sort of proprietary reason that the camera, even though it can record, you know, 60 hours or whatever, the SD card.
Oh, right. It only goes...
It cuts off at 30 minutes or right around there.
Right about my people's attention spans.
Yeah.
Not our wonderful listeners.
Yeah.
You're still with us.
I'm a good 42 to 45 minute preacher, probably, you know, like start to finish, you know, prayer, everything.
I don't know if I'd say good.
So, I didn't mean good. You know what I mean. Not good as an adjective. I don't know how. I wonder what that would be.
I don't either.
The use of the word good in that sentence, as I said. Man, it's a real southern.
We should ask an author.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a good 6'7". You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that is because yeah. it's not an adjective. Anyway, I'm not.
Do you feel like an ideal time for you is 40 to 45 minutes?
No, no. I feel like that's what happens. Now,
yeah.
People will debate what's ideal, always. I feel like that's when I've said the things that are on the sheet. And so I've been working with, because I do run-throughs, I've been working to bring that down. Though,
right.
I really always measure it not by the time. Like, I want to know, did you get what I said? How was the experience? Did it cause you to, you know... learn more about God's word and want to go and apply it. Like to me, the extra 10 minutes, 15 minutes here or there, like,
yeah.
Was that an effective communicator? Did I keep your attention? Are you going to go do something about it? More importantly, mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to me. Like, I don't really care if it's 45 or 35 or whatever, you know, we don't.
Yeah.
So now if I'm rambling and that 45 caused you to not listen to what I said in the first 25,
yeah. I think 30 minutes is how we're conditioned because of like sitcoms.
Yeah.
Because I thought about the other day, like, I have not seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies. I have not seen, what's another epic movie? Any of the Harry Potter movies. I know there's like a 3-hour investment ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, that's on. I know I need to watch this. I've heard it's great. I'm not watching this. Then I'll watch 12 episodes of Friends in a row.
Yep. And you could have watched.
Right.
Yep.
I could have watched the whole thing. But it's like that little small bites, for some reason, my brain is...
Like almost conditioned.
There's like a beginning, middle, end in that 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're conditioned.
Whereas I've
got
to like go along for the ride with all these character arcs within the 3 hours.
Yeah.
So don't preach 3 hours, is I guess what I'm saying out there. Because we're not with you. You're not the return of the king.
No, no.
You're the return of the servant.
And I had one of the guys I write for this week ask me, he goes, what are you preaching on this week? He always asked me. And
yeah.
I said, you know, and he's in his 80s, you know, so he said, I told him, First Samuel, and he said, how long is it going to be? I said, well, I've already pre-recorded it. I can tell you. It's 29 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah. He liked that, right?
He said, my favorite sermons are, he's real funny. I like about a 10-minute sermon.
Oh, wow, 10 minutes.
And I said, oh. He goes, let me ask you this. He goes, ask every minister I know. Has anyone ever walked up to you and said, man, I wish you would have talked longer today? Has anyone ever said that? Mm. I actually have had a few people like, hey, where you were meant so much to me. You really could have talked longer and I would have been great with
it.
Like, because I was in it. So, but I didn't tell him that because that sounds real pretentious. And actually,
well, the idea is to leave him wanting more. That's how comedy works too. Yeah. If you don't want people being like, that was, if you get off stage and you feel like it was the right amount, you've gone on too long.
But my gosh, though, yeah. I mean, Paul preached, man, and people falling out of windows and stuff. I mean, so
yeah,
Eutychus too, Johnny.
Yeah, if you had a, Eutychus.
Yeah. Anyway. So it is 29 minutes and 40 seconds, and I actually like the exercise. I think I could be a 30-minute. I think I am
becoming a 30-minute.
I'm a 30-minute preacher now because I've had to. So for the last four sermons that I've done, they've had to be 30 minutes. So
screen in the back helps. It tells you the countdown. You know.
No, we don't have that right now.
Oh, wow.
In the current format. So I just use my phone.
Oh, I see.
And that one day, it cut me off at like 29:10, and I lost the last like prayer, so I had to go back, and so I'm I try to be extra careful, like set it, man, around 28 I'm like, I'm bringing this thing in for a landing. So
as I begin to close,
but I like it, you know what I'm saying, I like having that. It's been good. Another good thing from quarantine is that maybe if you attend the church at Pleasant Grove, you're going to be excited to hear that this may have turned your teaching pastor into a 30-minute preacher.
I wonder if there's ever been like a surgeon that says that to like a team, like, all right, let's close on this. And then they
begin to close.
But he keeps stalling. They're like, this guy's been, we've had this guy cut open. It's not good.
Well, see, when I have 2 points, I've had to stop saying that. Yeah. I usually only have 2 points. And so I'll say this is now, instead of saying.
Three feels more.
Three, I'm going to go too long. There's no way. If you're going to be worth their salt, like there's, unless that's a big, I'd rather have 10. Give me a list of 10. I can fly through that because I know they're supposed to be short. Three, like, puts me where I feel comfortable kind of expanding in between. So it's either like, give me a lot and I know I got to get it done and I'll kind of just read the page and go, you know, or give me two. You know, this week is one, by the way. One point.
1 point.
Yep.
And that point is?
Well, we can say it because, yeah, this is on Monday. So, yeah, it's who will rule? That's the question. I think that's the real question of First Samuel, because you're moving between judges
and
kings.
Who will rule? That's a tongue twister. It's kind of a...
Who will rule?
Who will rule?
Who will rule?
Who will rule?
It's kind of like rural and
Doyle
urban.
Rules. Yeah. It is.
It's the whole question of God wanted to be their king.
Right.
And they rejected him. And he gave in. It's like, okay, I'll give you kings, you know. But it's still the question today. Like, will you allow God's ways because you trust? Do I want to rule over my kid? Well, sure I do. Why? Because I can exact taxes from her. I have nothing to gain.
Yeah.
I only lose money, time, energy. It's because I love her and I know that my rule over her is for her good. She cannot rule over herself in the way that I can at this age. And it's for her freedom that I would do that, because she would be completely, at this age, lost without it. So that's the whole thing. And I was like, the reason we can't have a king, and I talk about Declaration of Independence and us not wanting a king, and so not having a president for the first 10 years of our country and all that. And the deal is, the reason we can't have a king, it could never work, because you might have a good one. If you have a good king, great, but he can't live forever.
Yeah.
And so his son could be, and that happens all the time in history, great king followed by a despot.
Monster.
You know, yeah.
Right.
So like, the deal is, if you have a king who's really good, who is impervious to evil, and just cares and loves and rules well, and he lives forever, then you can trust him. You can have a king. And so that's the whole, you know, kind of thing of what they had and how they didn't want it, and how we have that option in grace in the gospel.
This is awesome. I don't have to listen to church.
I just gave
now.
It all to you. There you go.
Did the 10-minute sermon.
I did. It wasn't even 10. It was like 3.
It felt like 10, John. This felt. I nodded off. I was in like a national park. Yeah. In my mind, I was somewhere looking at tall pine trees and wondering if they were coniferous.
You're wearing your stilts in your mind.
Absolutely.
Walking
I don't need stilts in my mind, John. Mm. It is. The weather up here is good.
Mm.
Although I hunch pretty good, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you, 6'2"?
I'm 6'4".
Wow, are you really that tall?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I can hunch down to 5'10 when necessary. Just get down on your level and be like, hey, guys, let's get real here.
And you know what, listener? We appreciate you getting down on our level today.
Oh, let's talk about the thing, the Zen thing.
Yeah. So we announced 2 weeks ago, and at this point, Johnny pointed out to me before.
We're liars.
We're just liars.
We don't mean to be, though.
We're not trying to be. So we are setting a time right now for our Zoom call for our patrons, and that is going to be this Thursday. Let me get the right date here. The 21st.
Yeah.
May 21st at 7 p.m. Central.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to be sending you guys who are patrons, because we have your email address and a Patreon account. I'll send you a link. And anyone who's a patron, we'd love to join you. We're just going to probably take about 30 minutes.
Yeah. So if you want to get in now, you can get that link, too. If you get in now this week, it's like the 11th hour, that parable where the person who, you know, didn't work as long in the field, he still got the reward. That's you.
He still got
that could be
the
you.
Patron call. Just like it's in the Greek.
Still got to Zoom with the Lord.
Zoom on over with us, and we'll just spend some time. We just want to hear what you think about the show and kind of get to know
you. Who knows
what
might come up.
Yeah, you never know.
All kinds of hijinks.
Yeah, so we'd love for you to join us and for patrons, and we'll also talk to you about, we know several of you are still owed packets and those things that are coming, so we'll profusely apologize to you, and we'll talk to you about the loot and what that's going to
be. We'll blame the USPS.
Yeah, we'll blame.
It's a hard time.
We'll blame coronavirus and
in this difficult time.
Oh my goodness!
Please have patience with
us. We know you did not get your Johnny W. DVD, but really, who watches DVDs anymore anyway? Right?
They're gonna frame it though. That's the point of those. You put it on your wall, and it says it's got a little note from me, maybe that says, "Hey, thanks for being a patron."
Are you gonna write a note?
Thanks for patronizing me.
That's what it needs to say. We're gonna send. You're now sending that to the patrons. You know, I put a card in usually
from
on John Driver stationery.
You try to one up me, don't you?
I don't have John Driver and Johnny W stationery. I just have John Driver stationery
from the desk of ..
Yeah, it's very very prestigious.
Okay.
So yeah, and they look at it and they're all like, "Wow, this John really cared about me. I wonder why Johnny didn't say something."
You know, what a heartless jerk. So Thursday 7 Central.
Yep.
Is the time.
Yep.
So be looking for that email. Patrons.
Yep.
And if you want to join Patreon, this is the time to do it, because you're going to get some cool FaceTime with us. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and there are all kinds of levels in our Patreon account, as low as $5.
Yeah.
And so I think we call that the low talker, I think is what it was.
The low talker.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, check us out on Thursday. We'd love to talk to you. And man, just thanks for listening. Thank you, guys. We've had more listeners in the last month than ever before. And did you know, we charted on Chartable's top 200 in religion and spirituality and in comedy. We made the top 50 in religion and spirituality. So that's pretty exciting.
This train is bound for glory, John.
Man, let me tell you.
Get on board.
Well, share with your friends. And we're putting out some new social media things. Maybe you've seen that have little clips. And so if you see one of those on Facebook or on Instagram, you know, share that with somebody.
Yeah.
Like it and share it and laugh at it and whatever other things you could do with emojis there. And let people know. So those are little clips that we pick out from various show episodes. So, but send us your questions, your comments. Follow Johnny on social media. You can follow me as well. And we look forward to seeing you next time on
Talk About That.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.